Pastor Jeff says sometimes it's after we hit rock bottom that we'll finally look up to God.
Some people continue to say no. It blows my mind. But it's almost like the Lord uses the world, the flesh, and the devil to get us to the end of ourselves, doesn't he? And if you just haven't had enough, then I guess you got to have some more until you finally end up at bottom, wherever that is for you. Bottoms are different for everybody.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Welcome again to Sound Doctrine, online at sounddoctrineradio.org. We're on an incredible journey through Genesis with our pastor and teacher, Jeff Johnson, as we again open chapter 24. On the surface, it appears as just an incredible love story on how Isaac and Rebekah would meet and eventually marry. But dig a little deeper and you'll see a brilliant picture of the entire Godhead and how the Lord works in our lives. Here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, Genesis chapter 24, as we're going to do part two. Part one was last week, and you can pick part one up if you weren't here, and so you can get into part two. It kind of goes together because this is a bride for Christ, and this is out of the Old Testament. And remember, we talked about that a picture shares 1,000 words, and this is a picture of an Old Testament situation that speaks of a New Testament event that is coming to pass. So it's so clear. And chapter 24, of course, we've already looked at, and the first portion of it. And Abraham is the type of God the Father, and it's very clear. He's sending his servant, remember, the type of the Holy Spirit, to get a bride for his son, Isaac, who is a type of Jesus Christ. And that bride's name is Rebekah, who is a type of the church. So these types, these pictures that we have here in the Old Testament point us towards what is coming and how God's going to develop the whole thing. So the servant Eliezer, he goes 500 miles away into a pagan land. Keep that in your mind. And he said, God, which one? I mean, I'm coming to a well, and I need to know which one of these women that's going to come. And then he said, you know what I'll do? I'll ask for this woman who has a bucket to give me water. And if she gives me water and then turns around and gives the camels water, then I'll know that she is the one. And then he's finding out that Rebekah answers the call. Immediately, Rebekah comes. The prayer is answered. And she does exactly like he prayed. Lord, just open this. Boom, it's open. And then he says, well, what family are you from? Because this is very important. I need to know your background. I need to know, you know, what kind of upbringing. I need to know where you're from. Yes, you did this, but now I need to know who I'm talking to here and what is the background. And that's very important. And, of course, she shared it's from his master's brethren. And so Eliezer realized that, my gosh, I hit right on target. And remember, we found in verse 27, he was in the way. And because he was in the way, he went to his master's brethren's house. He went to the very house that Abraham was praying that he would go to. And he did. And hit right on target. And that was the house that he was looking for. So remember, we talked about this. The Lord leads us step by step. He had to take the first 500 miles before God's going to give him the next step. And once he got there, 500 miles away, then God gave him the next step and showed him Rebekah and went to the very house. So God leads us step by step. You take the first step, he shows you the next one. Then you take the next one, he shows you the next one, and so on. So that's how God always leads us by his Spirit. Verse 28, Rebekah now runs to tell her story and to the family. And it's an interesting verse. Notice he says, and the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house. So the father's not there, these things. So many believe that possibly the mother was a concubine, the father was a polygamist. We're in a very corrupt society. We're in a very pagan land, Ur of Chaldees. It's, it's like you're, right here in L.A. or Las Vegas. It's corrupt. There's a lot of junk going on, a lot of weird sexual things, just a lot of trash. And that's where the Lord sends his servant, the Holy Spirit, to find a bride. You know, kind of, again, you're going to see a lot of what God is doing with us right now, right here, as the Holy Spirit is still working, pulling and tugging on hearts for those of you who do not know the Lord to be a part of this bride. And he's come to fetch a bride. And this is kind of the father's gift to the son. This is Abraham's gift to his son. This is God's gift to Jesus Christ, his son. Who and what is it? The bride. And we've already found out that Rebekah is awesome. She's not only very beautiful, she's very strong, she's kind, she's flawless. And now we're introduced to the family in this pagan land. Notice verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. So this bride, this gift, she is awesome. She is perfect. But now here's the family. Welcome to the fam. You know, as he meets first the brother, Laban, a very worldly man, who we'll hear a lot of later on. But he is head of the home. He's running the home. He's greedy because notice he's got his eyes on what his sister's wearing. Sister, sis, where'd you get this stuff? This guy gave it to me, man. Look at this bling, you know, all this diamonds and gold. Whoa, you know, and Laban's going, come on in. Come on now. Come on. Everything's ready. You gave that to her, huh? And that's all he's looking at. That's all he wants. But notice, these are gifts that the Spirit of the Lord, Eliezer, who is a type of, gave to the bride. So the Holy Spirit has come to do what? To give us gifts. These gifts will literally blow the world away and will attract them to the Lord. And this is what we're seeing here. This guy's attracted to what's going on here. Now, yet he thinks, money, and he's greedy and all. But it's the gifts that attract people. And when they see God's people moving in the Spirit, praying, laying hands on someone, praying for them, and all of a sudden the person is healed. I mean, these things move those people that are in the world and greedy and after the things of the world, and it moves them. And I've heard of people a number of times, because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, coming to know the Lord because they saw the real instead of the other junk that's going around and the charismaniacs stuff. They saw the real gift. They saw the realness of God's gifts. So, Eastern hospitality, of course, is very, very loving and reaching out. But he just said, come on in. I want to hear more about this guy who gave you all these gifts. And later we're going to hear about, Rebecca's son, who she will eventually have. It'll take a number of years, but Jacob would be born, and he would find out what a deceiver and what a clever man his uncle was, Uncle Laban. And we'll hear about that as we go through Genesis. Verse 32, and the man came into the house, and he Laban ungirded his camels and gave straw and provided for the camels and the water to the wash's feet and men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. Interesting little sidelight here. Job said this about God's word. I esteemed his word more than my daily food. Peter said that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. So the word being the food, that which we need to be nourished with. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And so when everybody was hungry, going to town to get burgers or whatever and bring it back to him, he was sitting there with that Samaritan woman with a big grin on his face when they showed up and said, who gave this guy food? He's sitting there all satisfied. No, he just ministered to this woman. That's what satisfied him. That's what ministered to him. My meat is to do the will of my Father. So satisfaction, fulfillment, strength, and direction all come from God's word. And God's word is there for us. And so this servant says, you know what, I'll get to this physical food, but right now I'm concerned about the spiritual thing, that the mission that I'm on. And I want to share that mission with you. Over in John 4:32, it says, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. That's what he finally told them. He said, you guys don't understand the meat that I'm existing on, the meat that I go on, the meat that empowers me, that keeps me going in this world. And it's not physical. God, help us to see the importance of being nourished spiritually. This is food for our very soul. This is soul food. It's good stuff. It's no calories. You can have as much as you want, and you can delight yourself in fatness when it comes to the Word of God. So we need to see that. Over in John 16, verse 13, listen to this. John 16, 13. He says, howbeit, Jesus is speaking here, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. Interesting. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The work of the Holy Spirit when he comes. Now let's look at verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, for he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he has. Notice this, that he doesn't speak of himself. He's not about to speak of himself, but he speaks of Isaac, just like the Holy Spirit has come to speak of Jesus Christ. And of what? His great wealth. Oh, man, you want to be rich? You need to buy of him gold tried in the fire. You need Jesus if you want to be rich. There is riches in him that surpass all the riches of this world. And notice that he's saying that the father, Abraham, has given everything to his son. And that's exactly what the Bible says concerning Jesus. So these types are just all the way through here. It's the Holy Spirit that is the one that draws us, that woos us to Christ. So what is he doing? He's doing his wooing. He's doing his drawing right here. And he's setting the scene. Here's who my master is. And here's who his son is. And the wealth that he has. And he's kind of attracting them. That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. To attract. To draw. So he starts to tell the story all over again. He's already given us the story, but now he tells it again. Why? There's something about repetition. I don't know. It's a good teacher. That's what I do know. And he speaks of this story again. Notice in verse 37, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Remember, he's not to be unequally yoked, in whose land I dwell. So no unbelievers for my son. You get a believer for my son. Remember we talked about parents, how we need to start really praying. And teaching our little ones that this is just non-negotiable. You teach them when they're young so they know when they grow up. They know they're not to, you know, hang with anybody that doesn't know the Lord, because they'll be unequally yoked and it'll hurt them spiritually. And you give them stories out of the Bible where God told them when they go into the land, don't intermingle with those people because they'll pull you right away from me. They'll rip you off. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and go to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. So go to those who believe. And I said unto my master, verse 39, peradventure the woman will not follow me, because some won't come. I mean, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And why are they chosen? Because they turned around and they believed. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That incredible, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. But there are some that just don't come. Man, it's the invitation is given. Come on, receive Christ into your heart. Ask for God's forgiveness of your sin. You've broken the Ten Commandments. Interesting how there's 10 camels here. You know, the 10 commandments of the Lord, the 10 camels. And how she has this interaction with these camels through this whole journey. And the Ten Commandments, man, if you've broken even one of them, and if you've even lusted after a woman, you've broken the adulterer. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You've broken it. And if you hate somebody, you've just killed your brother. You've just broken another one. So it just takes one to break, and you've broken them all. And you're in a very bad position if you've broken the commandments of the Lord. You need salvation. That's why Jesus came. Jesus and his spirit supersedes the law. The law condemns us, but the law was a schoolmaster to drive us to Christ. That you have sinned, that you were in a bad place, man. You were going down for the last time, and you were going to make it unless you get it right. Jesus came, it's good news. So what if the woman won't follow me? And he said unto me, verse 40, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. So Abraham's faith, I mean, he just said, you know what? I'm trusting God with this whole thing. Eliezer, you go, man. You do it. God's going to lead the way. You're taking this step. He's going to show you the next step, the next one, the next one. Everything's going to be fine. So God will take you to the very one. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not the one, thou shalt be clear from the oath. And so let it go. I mean, if she doesn't want to come, then hey, that's all right. Let it go. So the Lord's not going to bend our arm. Oh, he'll seek to coax us a little here and a little there. He'll show us his riches. He says, you want peace? You want real peace? You want joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You want to get right with God and know the truth that will set you free? And yet he'll lay these things out to us, and you'd have to sit there and go, you know, maybe you got your bone, and you're going, you know, you won't let your bone go. You know how dogs are. They don't want to let go of their bone. You give them a steak, and you wave it in front of their head. And some dogs are so dumb, they still got that bone. You know, so you continue to be stubborn, and you won't give up your bone when he's got a New York steak laying there, you know. And this is, it's a temptation, but some people continue to say no. It blows my mind. But it's almost like the Lord uses the world, the flesh, and the devil to get us to the end of ourselves, doesn't he? And if you just haven't had enough, then I guess you got to have some more until you finally end up at bottom, wherever that is for you. Bottoms are different for everybody. Notice he says, then shalt thou be clear. And then verse 42, I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand at the well of water, and it shall come to pass, and we know the story, the virgin that comes forth to draw water, and I say, give me to drink, I pray thee, a little water, the pitcher to drink, and she say unto me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for your camels, which camels drink a lot of water. That's going to be a lot of hiking up and down that well to get that water to those camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord has appointed out for my master's son. So this was his prayer, And this is what he asks the Lord for. Now, in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, it talks about how God has given us all things through his Son. I mean, chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians is just all that God has done for us. And then in chapter 4, it goes into now, you know, walk worthy of your calling. But look what God has done for us. So you ever get a chance, read those three chapters together. They're powerful. But we are heirs, it says, joint heirs with Christ. Over in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you. And so it's the Holy Spirit that brings all these things to us. He reveals the Son. He reveals what he's going to do in our lives. He leads us in the truth. So Peter said, in whom having not seen, you love. And so the Holy Spirit, I believe, he can do a great job if you'll let him. In other words, he introduces to us the Savior. He draws us in. He says, he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. There is no other way. He convicts us of our sin. We know that he says in the Gospel of John, I think chapter 16, he talks about how the Holy Spirit has come to convict of sin. So you don't have to tell anybody they've sinned. He's doing a great job of telling us. But also to cause us to fall in love with the Son. And I think he's doing a great job. I love him, and I haven't ever seen him. And I really love him. And I've served him for many, many years. And I have no other in my heart but him. He alone is my Lord and my Savior. So the Holy Spirit does a great work, doesn't he? He connects us. He gets us into this relationship that's so powerful. And I love him so much that, you know, it's that joy unspeakable again and full of glory he gives to us. And you start to long to see his face, you know. The cry of your heart is, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You just want it to be done, you know. You just want to see this world come and to know him and to be ruled by him. There's that desire of our hearts. So there's a longing that he gives to us. Yes, it's true that, you know, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're his witnesses. As Eliezer is a witness of the Lord, he's the Holy Spirit, and to share all that he has to give. And so it comes from the Holy Spirit to us, and then we give it to others around us. Hey, if you receive Christ, this is what will happen. Your sins will be forgiven. You're going to heaven. You'll be able to live a holy life. You'll be able to serve the Lord, and you can just name all the things off. And so it comes from us to those around us. And so these gifts are given.
We've been focusing on the Holy Spirit and how he works. This is part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's study in Genesis, here on Sound Doctrine. Well, you can request today's study on CD when you give us a call toll-free at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Simply mention today's date to help us identify the study. And again, the number is 800-353-7553. I should also mention, you can go to our website to order resource materials from us and even replay today's program. We're at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or get it on Google Play. Today, we'd like to recommend an excellent devotional. It's called A Passion for Jesus. Now, this is a collection of easy-to-read, edifying daily devotions. You'll hear from Kay Smith, Lenya Heitzig, Karen Johnson, Sharon Reese, Karen Pulley, Gail Mays, and many, many more as they pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. I think you'll find it really encouraging. It's available online for just $15 at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. Please also remember us in your prayers and in your giving to the Lord. We believe people desperately need sound doctrine contained in God's Word right now, and you can help us bring it to a world in need. Your generosity will help us continue on this station and others like it. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Would you do us a favor before the day is done? Write to us. We want to know how sound doctrine is benefiting your walk with the Lord. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please, also mention the station you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Well, there's more to come in Genesis, and we'll continue the journey next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you and strengthen you as you live according to sound doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,